Welcome to WYCE's Community Connection. Community Connection is a weekly public affairs program produced in partnership with The Rapidian, a hyperlocal news service of the Grand Rapids Community Media Center. Community Connection brings to you diverse perspectives and viewpoints from community leaders across West Michigan. I'm your host, Allison Donahue. Today we have both of the co-founders of the Delta Project, Cole Williams, the executive director and co-founder, and Joel Van Kuyken, the communications director and co-founder of the Delta Project. Thank you both for coming on Community Connection today. How are you doing?
Good. Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you. It's great to be here.
Absolutely. So can you start us off with telling us what the Delta Project is for those who are unfamiliar?
Yeah, so the Delta Project is a nonprofit organization here in Grand Rapids. And the Delta Project was created really to support youth and families that have juvenile justice involvement. And so we provide programs specifically geared to supporting youth and families, but most importantly, youth who are involved in the juvenile justice system, but also youth who are returning home from the juvenile justice system.
And there's a concert coming up to show a little bit of gratitude toward the folks in the greater Grand Rapids area who are putting in the work in this space. Can you tell us a little bit about this upcoming event?
Yeah, so the gratitude concert is simply that. I mean, I think one thing that Cole and I realized throughout this work is that we need to show gratitude to people. I mean, it's an idea that has been bouncing around with us for a couple of years, and we finally decided to put this concert together. We're going to recognize five different people in the community who maybe don't often get the recognition that they deserve. People that are involved in the juvenile justice system, people in the education system, and really people making impact in our community. The concert itself is a reggae concert.
I heard it's a big artist that's coming in.
Yes, Michael Rose, Grammy Award-winning lead singer of Black Uhuru from 1977 to 1985. And that was the era when Black Uhuru really produced their best work and really expanded their catalog with lots of different music that they still perform today.
So the five people who are being recognized, is that a surprise that we'll find out later at the concert, or is that already... do they know yet?
So they do know, and there is a few people that don't know.
Okay.
So it will be much of a surprise, but I think for us, one of the things that our North Star for our nonprofit is, how do I become something I don't see?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that each one of the recipients of the Gratitude Award really represent that narrative and really play on a major role in really supporting young people that are in our community to become something they don't see.
Tell me more about that. What kind of support or work are they doing in the community that you want to recognize them for?
Well,
or will that give away too much?
I think that might give away a little, but maybe not.
I think we can talk about the categories.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
So we have the At Potential Award. Often we talk about young people as being at risk. We don't really like that kind of terminology. We need to see young people as at potential, and all of us at potential, not at risk. So the At Potential Award features a young person who has been involved in our work and has made a difference. We have the Equal Rights and Justice Award, which is going to feature someone working within the system. The Education Award, obviously for someone working really at a high school level. The Community Partner Award and the Impact Award. So that maybe gives you an idea of the breadth of the scope of the type of people that we're going to recognize without naming them
yet. Yeah, because we want to give it away.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. We can keep it vague. So why music? Why is this a concert to celebrate this type of work and these young people?
So I think when you think about justice work, and I think when you think about advocacy and you think about activism, I think music has been a thread throughout all of it, right? So when we look at the history of any, I think, issue that's come up in America, music has been a big part of that. And so I think bringing together artists who really represent this concept and idea of really storytelling, but most importantly, justice work. And I think for our kids and the youth in our community, music is a major staple in their lives. And so I think having the opportunity to really bridge music together with young people and the importance of understanding the juvenile justice system and social justice work is really why we wanted to merge the two together.
Does Michael Rose infuse that justice worker advocacy into his music? Is that
absolutely? I mean, Black Uhuru was a band that really, when Bob Marley died in 1981, Black Uhuru kind of carried the torch and kind of brought reggae music even more international. And some of the most famous songs that they've produced, one is called General Penitentiary, and it really looks at justice and incarceration and issues with being in jail. Black Uhuru even performed at Soledad Prison in 1982. So there's a definite connection to the carceral system and understanding justice and juvenile justice. So we have that, but then there are two other bands that are going to be performing as well. One of the bands, it's an up-and-comer and an old-school band. So the up-and-comer is Isabel. She is an emerging artist in kind of the indie rock, indie pop space. And then we have Loftside Story, which is a reunion band of a group called Euro-K, E-U-R-O-K, which hip-hop fans will recognize as the first band in Grand Rapids to sign to a record label, a hip-hop label, in the 80s. So they're coming back together to perform at this event as well. So yes, the headliner is a reggae artist, a very famous one at that, but it's going to be a mix of genres.
Great. So all music lovers will find, find a song that they love there. We've been talking about this concert, but we've neglected to say when or where it is.
So the concert is on Saturday, May 11th. Doors open at 6 p.m. Tickets are available on the Wealthy Theater website. You'll find the Gratitude Concert listed on the calendar there. You can also find information about it on our social channels. If you follow us on Facebook or Instagram or LinkedIn, it's relatively easy to get tickets. And I think we may be doing some sort of a ticket giveaway here on YCE too, cool, as we get closer to the concert.
So make sure to stay tuned to 88.1 FM and try and get some tickets to this concert. That's great. And I also know that you're looking for some other things other than for people to buy tickets and show up to the concert. Sponsorships, right?
Yeah, we definitely are looking for sponsors still. I mean, we have a good lineup of sponsors that are participating. But this is, not only is this a celebration of gratitude and music, but this is a fundraiser for the Delta Project. And it's something that we have to keep our eye on at all times. Mm-hmm. We are a growing kind of startup nonprofit. I don't know how much we're a startup now that we've kind of grown the way we have, but in order to continue to make the impact that we're making and do the work that we're doing in the prison system with kids on probation, we need funding to do that. So it's going to a good cause if you're buying a ticket to this concert. And if you do want a sponsor, you can reach out to us and we can talk about different sponsorship levels to align yourself with the Delta Project brand and really be about gratitude and kind of showing up in the community in a way that is about being at potential, not at risk.
And maybe for folks who maybe aren't here that weekend, can't go to the concert, maybe they don't feel like a good fit to be a sponsor, are there other ways that folks can give to the Delta Project?
Well, I think one of the things they can do is they can visit our website. They can sign up for our newsletter. But most importantly, I think just connecting with us and sharing their story, I think part of the anchor of the Delta Project is centered around storytelling. And we hope, you know, that this concert, but most importantly, the work that we continue to do at the Delta Project brings people together. And so, well, of course, we welcome volunteers for the concert. But I think for us, most importantly, it's coming out and supporting it. But if you can't support it, visit our website and support the Delta Project.
Yeah, there are ways to donate there.
Yeah.
Great. And I heard that there's a new website for the Delta Project. And right on that front page is where you see that line that you said earlier. How do I become something I can't see or I don't see?
Yeah.
Tell me more about that. Where did that come from? And what does it mean to the Delta Project and to the young people who are a part of the Delta Project?
That question actually came from me teaching in the classroom inside a juvenile detention center. And in the classroom, I was describing to the young men that I was working with all the amazing and important Black and brown men that are in their community that they have full access to. They just have to connect. And one young man in my classroom said, "It's great that you are talking about that, but when I go home, the men that you describe, I actually don't see." And so that really raised the question for me around how do you become something you don't see? And how do we make sure that young men, people that are doing this amazing work throughout our city, are much more visible to young people who may not necessarily have access to them? And so that's really the birth of the Delta Project, is really trying to find ways to answer that question. And we discovered that there are amazing people doing amazing work. The goal for us is to become resource brokers and bring those resources and those people together to support the kids that are in our community. But that's really how we started, is just a young man asking that very question in the classroom.
Resource brokers. Give me more about that. In what ways do you work directly with these children, or what kind of resources are you providing them with?
Yeah, so we work directly where they are. So one of the things that we have a podcast studio where we provide telling their stories, but we go right into their classrooms. We run the programming right in the Kent County Jail with a juvenile pod. We work directly with residential facilities and programs around supporting young people through Healthy Connections, which is one of our programs. We do mentorship and providing storytelling, so group mentorship. So oftentimes some of our young people don't have full access to one individual mentor, so we go right to where they are. And I think that's really been key for us, is recognizing that sometimes we don't have to have young people come to us. We go to them. And I think that's been a huge major impact in supporting them while they're in the system, but also supporting them while they're out. So we also partner with two schools within our community and provide digital editing and future skills, is what it's called, for digital editing and storytelling. So they get full access to cameras and equipment to really help elevate and tell their stories. And then we just continue to work with them when they return home as well. And one of the things that we realize is that we are a very resource savvy community. And so we don't have to remake the wheel. The goal is to really partner with other organizations in the community to be able to support these kids. So part of our work is really finding out what the community is doing, and then making sure that if we have a kid that comes into our space who is, you know, struggling with food or struggling with even housing, which has always been one of the big topics that come up, that we're connecting them with someone in the community who provides that resource.
Yeah, I like that piece that you said, not waiting for the kids to come to you, but going directly to the kids. It's once you grow up, you kind of forget how one important that mentor was that probably helped you when you were a kid, but also just how little you know about how much is out there for you and how many resources are when you don't have that experience. And maybe you grew up in an environment where that wasn't told, that you had those experiences. So yeah, I think that's really important, going to them and letting them know what's out there.
Yeah, and helping them navigate it too.
Yeah.
Because I think that's a big part of it. Maybe those resources are out there, but your area may be under-resourced. Mm-hmm. And what you have access to is lack of resources. So how do we kind of make those connections? I also feel like that question, how do I become something I don't see, is a universal question. It's not just for the youth and families that we serve, but we all need to ask ourselves that question. What is it we're not seeing? What could we become that we're not realizing is possible? It goes back to being at potential.
Yeah, you never age out of needing a mentor. Well, we are just about out of time. 15 minutes goes fast. Is there anything we didn't talk about that you want to make sure that you get in front of our listeners?
One other thing I want to talk about is the fact that we have a podcast. It's called What I Know Now. Hmm. We've produced, we're on our 9th episode, but it's rapidly growing. We have a podcast studio and office in Easttown where we produce. And I encourage people to look for the Delta Project podcast, What I Know Now, on Apple Pod, Spotify, the different podcast channels, you'll find it. It's also on YouTube as well. It's a chance for us to talk to system impacted people about their experiences and how they're becoming what they don't see, or what their journey has been and what they know now.
And great. Part of recognizing that too is not just listening to system impacted youth and families, but also the people that are in the system. And so I think it's been a really great marriage of listening to both sides of that coin, because quite often we don't hear both sides of the story. So I think it's really important just being in the space on the opposite side. It's really been key to what I've been able to observe with the people that are in the system, that many of them are really doing great work. And so we want to try to highlight both while ultimately telling the story of how the system impacts youth and families and how we can do a better job at it.
Well, thank you both for coming in today to Community Connection. It was a great conversation. Really appreciate it.
Thank you for having us.
Absolutely. You've been listening to WYCE's Community Connection, a weekly public affairs program produced in partnership with The Rapidium, a hyperlocal news service of the Grand Rapids Community Media Center. I'm your host, Allison Donahue, and that is our program for this week. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you again next week, same place, same time, on 88.1 FM WYCE.